And he went out from thence and came into his own country, and his disciples follow him. And when the Sabbath day was come, he began to teach in the synagogue, and many hearing him were astonished, saying, From whence hath this man these things? And what wisdom is this which is given unto him, that even such mighty works are wrought by his hands? Is not this the carpenter, the son of Mary, the brother of James and Joseph, and of Judah and Simon? And are not his sisters here with us? And they were offended at him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, but in his own country, and among his own kin, and in his own house. And he could there do no mighty work, save that he laid his hand upon a few sick folk, and healed them, those few of them that did have the faith to be healed. Otherwise it would be casting your pearls before a swine. So the lesson here, which we're about to see, is if they don't receive your testimony, then leave. Christ will say this to his disciples in verse 11, and he marveled because of their unbelief. That was the reason that only a few were healed. And he went round about the villages teaching, and he called unto him the 12 and began to send them forth by two and two. And you might think of this as a foreshadowing of the two witnesses that you can read of in Revelation chapter 11, and gave them power over unclean spirits, as we also see in Luke chapter 10, send them to the abyss in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey save a staff only, just one, not plural, which is why he'd say in another place, not to take staves, which is more than one, no scrip, no bread, no money in their purse, because when you're carrying out the work of God, you'll be provided for, lacking nothing. Hearken diligently to the voice of the Lord your God, and you'll be blessed, as we know from Deuteronomy chapter 28, but be shod with sandals, and not put on two coats. Again, just one, not two, only take that which is necessary. And he said unto them, In what place soever ye enter into an house, there abide till ye depart from that place. And whosoever shall not receive you, nor hear you, when ye depart thence, shake off the dust under your feet for a testimony against them. Verily I say unto you, it shall be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. So see this in the future, a sense, as well as the past and the present. And they went out and preached that men should repent, and cast out many devils, and anointed with oil many that were sick, and healed them. This is also written of in James chapter 5, verse 14. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Christos in the Greek, Messiah in the Hebrew, which means the anointed one. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, but they have to ask first is the thing. They have to have that faith to begin with, and the Lord shall raise him up, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Elias, that is to say Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. He walked in the flesh, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. That's half of 7 years, Daniel's 70th week in the futurist sense, concerning the two witnesses. And notice what it says in Revelation chapter 11. Verse 3 says, The two witnesses shall prophesy 1,260 days, that's 3.5 years. And then in verse 6 it says, These have the power to shut heaven, that it rain not in the days of their prophecy. So most likely Moses and Elijah are the two witnesses, the 7 years being shortened to 5 months, as we know from Revelation chapter 9. So instead of 3.5 years, you're talking about 2.5 months. Verse 14 of Mark chapter 6, And King Herod heard of him, for his name was spread abroad, and he said that John the Baptist was risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. John the Baptist coming in the spirit and power of Elijah, not that he was Elijah, but he came in the spirit and power of Elijah, as we know from Luke chapter 1, verse 17. Others said that it is Elias, that's Elijah, there he is again. And others said that it is a prophet. prophet or as one of the prophets. But when Herod heard thereof, he said, It is John, whom I beheaded. He is risen from the dead. For Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold upon John and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful for thee to have thy brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, but she could not. She didn't have the authority. And remember, Jezebel sought to kill Elijah in 1 Kings chapter 19, which is also where you can read of the 7,000 which have not bowed unto Baal, symbolic of the election. John the Baptist, coming in the spirit and power of Elijah, and in the 9th chapter of this Gospel of Mark, we'll see Moses and Elijah appear with Christ on the Mount of Transfiguration, the two witnesses most likely being Moses and Elijah, who are killed by Satan 3.5 days before the true Christ returns. So with Herod, we have a type of Antichrist and a type of the Whore of Babylon with Herodias, Jezebel being another type of the Whore of Babylon, as we know from Revelation chapter 2. The daughter of Herodias, Salome, as we know from historical records, which means peace, and as we know from Daniel chapter 8, verse 25, when Satan appears as Antichrist, he shall magnify himself in his heart, and by peace shall destroy many, pretending to be the Prince of Peace, when he's really the King of Babylon of the end times, and Babylon means confusion. Verse 20, For Herod feared John, knowing that he was a just man and unholy, and observed him, and when he heard him, he did many things, and heard him gladly. And when a convenient day was come, that Herod on his birthday made a supper to his lords, high captains, and chief estates of Galilee, and when the daughter of the said Herodias came in, Salome, which means peace, and danced, and pleased Herod, and them that sat with him, the king said unto the damsel, Ask of me whatsoever thou wilt, and I will give it thee. And he sware unto her, Whatsoever thou shalt ask of me, I will give it thee unto the half of my kingdom. And she went forth and said unto her mother, What shall I ask? And she said, The head of John the Baptist. And she came in straightway with haste unto the king, and asked, saying, I will that thou give me by and by in a charger the head of John the Baptist. And the king was exceeding sorry, yet for his oath's sake, and for their sakes which sat with him, he would not reject her. And this being a type of Antichrist, you have to notice the differences, just as you saw differences between Satan and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon of old. Remember, Nebuchadnezzar gave praise to God in Daniel chapter 4. Satan's not going to do that. He's the son of perdition who exalts himself above all that is called God or worship. So see the difference between these types and the actuality. It's important. Verse 27, And immediately the king sent an executioner and commanded his head to be brought. And he went and beheaded him in the prison, and brought his head in a charger, and gave it to the damsel, and the damsel gave it to her mother. A type of mystery Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots and abominations of the earth. Notice this was done using peace, using Salome, whose name means peace. Verse 29, And when his disciples heard of it, they came and took up his corpse, and laid it in a tomb. And the apostles gathered themselves together unto Jesus, and told him all things, both what they had done and what they had taught. And he said unto them, Come ye yourselves apart into a desert place and rest a while. For there were many coming and going, and they had no leisure so much as to eat. And they departed into a desert place by ship privately, and the people saw them departing, and many knew him, and ran afoot thither out of all cities, and outwent them, and came together unto him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw much people, and was moved with compassion toward them, because they were as sheep, not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. Verse 35, And when the day was now far spent, his disciples came unto him and said, This is a desert place, and now the time is far past. Send them away, that they may go into the country round about and into the villages and buy themselves bread, for they have nothing to eat. He answered and said unto them, Give ye them to eat. And they said unto him, Shall we go and buy 200 pennyworth of bread and give them to eat? He saith unto them, How many loaves have ye? Go and see. And this may remind you of the opening of the seals in Revelation when the four living creatures would say, Come and see, when the Lamb, that is to say Jesus, opened the seals. And when they knew, they say, Five and two fishes. Five loaves, two fishes, that seven symbolic of the seven seals. The true Christ, Jesus, being the bread of life, and only through the Lamb slain can you absorb the seven seals in your forehead, which prevent you from being deceived into receiving the mark of the beast in your forehead. Notice it was five loaves and two fishes, the fish being a symbol of Christ, with the Greek word for fish even being an acrostic acronym. If you were to take the Greek word for fish, ichthys, and break it back to the Greek alphabet, you have iota, chi, theta, Epsilon and Sigma, which spells out, if you take the first letters of the Greek words, Jesus, Christ, God the Son, the Savior. Jesus Christ, God the Son, the Savior. Iota, chi, theta, epsilon, and sigma. Those are the first letters of the Greek words that you can translate into Jesus Christ, God the Son, the Savior. But what about the other fish? That's symbolic of the fake Christ, who appears at 666, which is chi, kazi, stigma in the Greek. Number 5516 in your Strong's Concordance, and as you can see, it has the chi as in Christ, only it's the false Christ, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, with that Greek letter kazi even resembling a serpent. That's to let you know beyond a shadow of a doubt that there is a false Messiah who is none other than Satan himself, who shall appear in Jerusalem before the true Christ returns. This will be clarified in Mark chapter 13, but here in chapter 6 with the five loaves and two fishes, we see the deeper truth God would have us know, the seven seals that make up the seal of God in your forehead. So returning to Mark chapter 6 and verse 39, and he commanded them to make all sit down by companies upon the green grass. And that word green is chloros in the Greek, number 5515. And remember, chi, kazi, stigma was number 5516, right next to each other in the Strong's. Remember, Satan's angels, the locust army, were commanded in Revelation chapter 9 not to hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing. There's that word again, number 5515, chloros in the Greek. Neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their forehead. Verse 41, and when he had taken the five loaves and the two fishes, he looked up to heaven and blessed and brake the loaves and gave them to his disciples to set before them. And the two fishes divided he among them all. The sealing of the servants of God is done through the elect. After Christ, the Lamb slain, opens up those seals to you in your forehead, whereby you understand the truth of your Father's word. Verse 43, and they took up 12 baskets full of the fragments and of the fishes. And this has to do with the deprogramming of the 12,000 sealed out of each of the 12 tribes. The fragments symbolic of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees, as we know from Matthew 16:11, Satan's deception through his children and their four hidden dynasties. Verse 44, and they that did eat of the loaves were about 5,000 men, five being grace in biblical numerics. That's also the seal in which we learn of God's election and what they are to do during the sixth trumpet. And straightway he constrained his disciples to get into the ship and to go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while he sent away the people. And when he had sent them away, he departed into a mountain to pray. And when even was come, the ship was in the midst of the sea, and he alone on the land. And he saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind was contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night, he cometh unto them, walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. For they all saw him, and were troubled. And immediately he talked with them, and saith unto them, Be of good cheer, it is I, be not afraid. And he went unto them into the ship, and the wind ceased, and they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure, and wondered. You'll see this word wondered in Revelation 13 as well, the point being the disciples don't recognize Christ here. That was the whole point of the miracle of the five loaves and the two fishes, absorbing the seven seals, whereby you know the difference between Christ and Antichrist. The true Christ doesn't return until the seventh trumpet. That's why there's seven seals. The last trumpet is when the true Christ returns. Satan appears as Antichrist at the sixth trumpet. It's really that simple. For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened, not recognizing the true Christ here being the deeper meaning. Verse 53, and when they had passed over, they came into the land of Gennesaret and drew to the shore. And when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. Gennesaret you'll find in Numbers 34:11, and is part of the inheritance. The promised land, that is to say. So as a type of going into the millennium, when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him. All being changed into spiritual bodies at the seventh trumpet, instantly knowing the difference between the true Christ and the fake Christ. The Hebrew equivalent of Gennesaret means harps, which you'll see in Revelation 15, verse 2, them that had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image, a televised image of Satan at that time, whenever he appears as Antichrist, they'll worship him via satellite. The whole world can't fit in Jerusalem, so they'll have to do it that way, through the telescreens on their little devices that everybody has nowadays. And over the number of his name, that's the Ki-Kazi stigma that we read of earlier, 666, that's when he appears as the false Christ in Jerusalem. Stand on the sea of glass, that means it's transparent, you can see through it, you can see the truth for what it is at that time, having the harps of God. So there you have it. Gennesaret, when you break it back to the Hebrew, where that word comes from originally, means harps, which you see in Revelation 15 verse 2, after they had gotten the victory over the beast and over his image and over the number of his name. So when they were come out of the ship, straightway they knew him and ran through that whole region round about, and began to carry about in beds those that were sick, where they heard he was. And whithersoever he entered, into villages or cities or country, they laid the sick in the streets and besought him that they might touch, if it were, the border of his garment, and as many as touched him were made whole.